I invite you to take your Bibles, open them up to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. Titus 2, verses 9 and 10. Let me just start by just reading those two verses for us. Titus 2, starting at verse 9, says, "Urge slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be pleasing, not contradicting, not pilfering, but demonstrating all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in everything." Let's pray as we come to God's Word. Father, we thank you that we have your Word, and it teaches so clearly, so practically, about a subject that's important to all of us. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us to understand and you'll help us to apply what your word says to our own lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm always glad with an opportunity to speak to men in the church, because God has declared that men are the leaders. Men are the leaders. And one of the responsibilities of leaders is to provide for those who they lead. And we do that primarily through working. We're all expected to work. We need to work to provide for our own needs and to be able to help others. As Ephesians 4:28 says, you need to work so that you can take care of your own needs and have enough to help others who are in need. That's an important thing. I don't think a lot of people think about that. They think about working to take care of themselves. They don't think about making enough so that they can take care of themselves and help others in need. But that's the plan. And as a husband and a father, we're to provide for the needs of our families. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if a man doesn't provide for his own, especially his own household, he's denied the faith and he's worse than an unbeliever. Because unbelievers do that. And so the Bible makes it clear. And work is an honorable task. Work is a good thing. It was given by God when man was still in the garden before sin. So work isn't the result of sin. It's not like if Adam hadn't blown it, I never would have had to work. No, work was given to man before sin. Sin complicates it, makes it harder, but that is God's plan for man to work. And the Bible is full of instruction on work. And there are just a couple things I want you to take note of as we kind of introduce this topic. Look back at verse 1 there in chapter 2. It says, "But as for you," Paul speaking to Titus, "speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." And then he begins the list of things there in that chapter. And so a healthy doctrine, a sound doctrine, is vital to if you're ever going to work in line with God's plan. You have to have a good grasp of all that the Bible teaches. And sometimes people do have trouble connecting the dots between what the Bible says about how we're to live as Christians and how that works out in everyday life. But this passage is going to help us make that connection to our workplace. So that'll be helpful for us. And you'll notice verse 9 was addressed to slaves. I didn't see anybody holding their hand up when they, you know, how many of you are slaves out there? I didn't see anybody raise their hand for that one. But in New Testament times, they were common members of a household. The slaves made up a major part of the population. They were the workforce of that time. And many of them were well-educated and had skills, high skills. So there are many similarities between what's given here to slaves. It's talking to people in a very similar situation to people who do work today, who are employees today. Every New Testament church would have had a considerable number of slaves in it. And we'll see a little bit about that tonight. One other thing I want to bring up here is some of you might be sitting there and looking at me and saying, what do you know? You're retired. And worse than that, you're a retired pastor. What do you know about life in the real world? What do you know about real work? I remember a kid in the church I pastored in San Antonio. He was amazed one day when he found out I got paid to do what I do. That's what a lot of people think. But I want you to know that before I was a pastor, I was a banker for 14 years. I worked in a number of offices in LA County, Orange County. I was a bank manager at one time. I was one of those guys. And then I got moved up to a regional office where I was the manager of 180 branch managers who had my number on speed dial. And I had to make them all happy. And so I do have some work, but I will say this. I do think it is helpful if there's a guy who is working who could stand up and teach this. I say that because when I was on staff at Grace Church, I organized 6 Friday morning men's meetings. We had 300 men in the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning. And because we had 4 guest speakers come in for a variety of things, over 6 weeks. So we had 2 open weeks. And for those 2 open weeks, I picked men in the church who were in business, 2 businessmen. Those 2 messages had the biggest impact by far because they talked about how to work. They talked about how to be a godly man at work, and they live in the world that the guys who are there are in. So those guys hung around afterwards. They lined up to ask questions. It was a huge impact. And so some of you are sitting here today, you're working. If you could learn what the Bible teaches and you could put it into practice in your own life so that your life is an example of it and you could teach it, you should be teaching something like this to somebody someday. Okay? All right. One of you will consider it. All right, that's good. All right, but I want to give you 3 principles, 3 biblical principles summarized in 3 words for how to work, how to be a man at work for the Lord. And word number 1 is you need to work humbly. Humbly. If you have a job, you should be very thankful that you have a job. And you should submit to the boss. You'll notice verse 9 says, urge slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything. Be subject. It means to line up under. Submission is lining up under the one in authority, and you're going to follow what they say. And what you need to see from the scripture, which I hope to make clear tonight, submission to your earthly boss is submission to the Lord. Because who's telling you to submit to your boss? Talk to me now. Who's telling you to submit to your boss? God is. So by submitting to your boss, you are submitting to God. It's important that you understand that. And it says here that you're to be subject in everything. And I looked that up, and it means everything. Everything. It's extensive. Now, you're thinking, well, wait a second. There are exceptions to that. And yes, there are. If your boss tells you to sin, then you don't have to do that. Okay, but I worked 14 years in a bank. That happened one time. One time, my manager asked me to call a customer. We needed something from this customer, and he told me to lie if you have to get it. And I said, I will call the customer. I know what you want. I will get it, but I am not going to lie to get it. And he said he didn't care, because all he wanted was that we got what we needed. In his mind, the only way we were going to get it is if we lied to this guy. But that was one time. Now, did my bosses tell me to do things I didn't like to do? Yes. Oh, yeah, like every day. But that's I'm supposed to submit to them. I don't have to agree with them. I do need to submit to them. And if I'm going to pull the card, the sin card, it better be a sin, not just something that bugs you. So we are to work humbly. And in Ephesians 6:5 and Colossians 3:22, which we'll come back to a little later, both of those words say that you're to obey your master. Obey. Submit and obey. To obey, again, is a word that means to listen under. I've placed myself under this person's authority, and I'm going to submit to what they say. I'm going to do what they say. I'm going to obey. And you need to obey the boss like you would obey Christ. In fact, my obedience to my earthly boss is an expression of my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I've talked to a lot of guys who are looking for a job. They're looking for something that they could be passionate about. Well, you know, these slaves in New Testament times, they didn't have options like that. I'm sure a lot of them weren't very passionate about what they had to do. The issue is not finding a job that you can be passionate about. The issue is doing your job passionate for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the difference. You want to be passionate? Be passionate for the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 also speaks about this issue. It says, all who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor. Worthy of all honor. You're to honor your boss. You're to respect your boss. That has to do with how you would talk to them, how you would talk about them. Honor them, respect them. And it's all honor. Give them all honor. I'm not partial. I'm not honoring them when they tell me things I want to hear, and not honoring them when they tell me stuff I don't want to hear. Even, and this verse, I remembered this verse many times when I was working in the bank. It's 1 Peter 2:18. It says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are crooked. What? I'm supposed to be subject even if I got a crooked boss, a dishonest boss, a perverse boss? Yeah, that's what it says. And I had a boss like that. Once when one office I worked at down in Laguna Niguel, my manager there, he yelled at me every day for a year. I mean, it wasn't a matter of is he going to yell at me today? It was only a matter of when is he going to yell at me today? He yelled at me every single day. I think the rest of the staff felt sorry for me, but not too sorry, because I think they were placing bets on what time he would yell at me today. You know, because it was going to happen. It was going to happen for sure. Now, you know, this guy that was yelling at me, he and I couldn't have been more different. He's divorced. He's a womanizer. He's a drunk. And he's the guy that's yelling at me every day. But in his perverse way of thinking, this is how he's making me a better banker. He wanted me to get things done thoroughly, concisely, precisely. First time, get it done right. So he's looking for any little thing every single day. And whatever he found that day, he's going to yell, I'm going to go into his office, I'm going to take my whooping. And that's the way it was. But you know, the Lord has good things. Even when you have a boss like that, the Lord is Lord over that boss, is he not? Yes. And he can use a boss like that for your good. And maybe that helped me to be more humble, because he was finding things that I missed. Even if it was the period at the end of a sentence, he was finding something that I missed. And that was helping me become a better banker. You know, I don't approve of his method of how to make people better, but it worked, because after a year, I suddenly noticed one day, hey, he's not yelling at me anymore. And then I felt like, I've become a banker. I am legit now. And in fact, he and I became good friends. After I had left banking and was moved away and he had retired, he sought me out and contacted me. So, you know, doing what the Bible says is the way to go. To take this approach that we see here in the scripture requires a strong trust in the Lord and in His Word. To be a better workman, you need to elevate your view of Jesus Christ and His Word and recognize that humble submission is His way for you to approach work. Humbly is what the Bible teaches us about how to work for the Lord, how to be a man at work for the Lord. Going back to Titus chapter 2, there's a second word, and that word is faithfully. We need to work humbly. We need to work faithfully. Picking it up there in the middle of verse 9, it says to be pleasing, not contradicting, not pilfering, but demonstrating all good faith. That's how you're to work. Faithfully. Are you the kind of worker that could be called faithful at your work? Faithful. It breaks it down here. It talks about being well-pleasing. Well-pleasing, that means that you seek to please the person that you're working for. And some of you self-employed guys are thinking, yeah, my boss is the greatest, it's me. No, your boss is whoever you're doing the job for. I mean, I have self-employed people come to my house and they do work for me. I am the boss. And they need to do, if they want to work for me, they got to do what I want them to do the way I want them to do it. That's how that works, right? All you self-employed guys?
Yep.
Amen? Okay. That's the way I understand it. Everybody's working for somebody. And to be well-pleasing means that you want to please the person who's paying you, who's employing you. And I've told people this for years now. You want to please your boss, three simple things. You ready for this? You might want to write this down, put it up on your wall at home, teach it to your kids. Number one, show up on time. Show up on time. I mean, right away, you're going to stand out from everybody else. If the job starts at 8 o'clock, you're working at 8 o'clock. You're not rolling in at 8:03 and, you know, getting your coffee and talking to everybody, and about 8:20 maybe you make it to your desk and start working. If the job starts at 8 o'clock, you're working at 8 o'clock. Show up on time. Secondly, do what you're supposed to do. You should be the easiest employee for your boss because he always knows what you're doing because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. That pleases a boss. They don't have to worry about you. They don't have to think about what you're doing. They know what you're doing. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And thirdly, get along with your coworkers. Try your best to get along with the people you're working with. Three things: show up on time, do what you're supposed to do, try to get along with your coworkers. And I tell people, you do those three things, get ready to be promoted, because you will stand out. You will stand out. That is how you please your employer. Be well-pleasing to him. And then it says not contradicting. That means not talking back, not mouthing off, not arguing with the boss. And, you know, that would include things like, okay, I'm not going to argue, I'm not going to say anything, but I'm not going to do what he said to do. So I'm going to undermine the whole operation here just by not doing what he says he wants us to do. Now, if there's room to discuss with your boss how things are going to be done, you can feel free to do that. But once the decision is made, the only decision you have to make is, I'm going to go do this now. You got to do it. Christians should be known as people who respect authority, because we respect the ultimate authority, and he has told us to respect the authorities in our life. Next, he says, not pilfering. Pilfering isn't probably a word you used this week, but it's a great word. I don't know why. Today we might use the word embezzlement. You know that word, right? Embezzlement. It's taking cash that doesn't belong to you, or taking supplies that are the property of the company, the business, the owner. You know, your child has a school report. They need a whole bunch of paper clips. Well, we got hundreds of them here at work. I'll just take some home with me. That's pilfering. That's the definition of pilfering right there. It's to falsify expense reports. It's taking company resources and using them for your own personal needs. Those would all be pilfering. That's not being faithful to your employer. There has to be absolute honesty and integrity at what you do. And it wraps up that section by saying, with all good faith, meaning that you're trustworthy, you're reliable, you're loyal. And it says, demonstrating all good faith. There's ample evidence. It's seen. Everybody knows you can be trusted. You've proven it. This idea of faithful is expanded on in other places. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Turn with me there to Ephesians 6, starting in verse 5. Ephesians 6, 5. Down to verse 8. So slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the integrity of your heart, as to Christ. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, serving with good will as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. There's a lot there, but one word that would sum up that passage is you need to work with integrity. Integrity. You don't work just when the boss is looking. You're not saying and doing the right stuff when the boss is around, but you're doing it as if Christ himself was there. Because you know what? He is there. So it doesn't matter if the boss is there, Christ is there. I should work like I'm working for him, as unto the Lord, serving with goodwill as to the Lord. And he will reward your faithfulness in the time and the way that he determines. You need to trust him for that. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Another passage that talks about this, Colossians 3, verse 22 to 25. It says, slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but with integrity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Serve the Lord Christ. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. We're not to work to attract attention to ourselves. We're not doing it out of eye service. We're, again, doing it with all integrity. And also, you'll notice it talks about fearing the Lord. We saw that in Ephesians 6 also. We saw that in 1 Peter chapter 1. Fearing the Lord is a big part of how you need to approach the way you work. That is key, and that hardly ever gets talked about these days. Who's talking about fearing the Lord? And who's talking about taking this attitude of fearing the Lord to work? You just don't hear it. You don't hear it today. And I'm really concerned about this. I've been thinking a lot about this lately. Now that I'm retired, I got lots of time just to sit around and drink sweet tea and think about things. And fear of the Lord is not talked about. And that concerns me, because when we start getting soft in our thinking about the fear of the Lord, then we become casual towards the Lord. The fear of the Lord means he's got my attention. I'm hanging on every word he says, and I'm taking him serious. But when you're not fearing the Lord, you just take it casual. You're casual in your approach to God. You're casual in your approach to worship. You're casual in your approach to his word. You just become casual, and you become comfortable. Comfortable with sin and comfortable with the world. So you'll go to church on Sunday and act like there's nothing more important to me than the Lord, and then you'll go to work on Monday and you'll slide into the comfortable, I'm comfortable with all the stuff. All the worldly stuff, all the sinful stuff. I can be comfortable with all of that. But if you work the way the scripture says, you will stand out. If you work heartily as for the Lord, putting your whole self into it with a passion to honor your Lord, believe me, people will notice that. People will notice that there is something different. You will stand out in the crowd. There was a verse that encouraged me greatly through the years. It's Proverbs 22:29. Proverbs 22:29 says, "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." Yeah, guys who take their work seriously and do it well, they get noticed. And my experience is, from the bank, they didn't care if I was a Christian or not. All they cared about is I'm helping them to accomplish their work goals. And they would have taken 10 more just like me. And I used to think of men that could be models for me in the workplace. And one that I thought of was Jonathan. You know, one of the sons of Israel, the son that the others all hated, and they sold him into slavery. Talk about somebody who had a traumatic experience in their life. Your brothers, they want to kill you, but oh no, we can make money off of this guy. So they sell him off into slavery. But he is so faithful that Potiphar, his master, makes him the steward over his whole house. Because this, I mean, Joseph is who I'm talking about, not Jonathan. Did I say Jonathan?
Yeah.
I saw the teacher over here was about to correct me. Joseph, he stands out. He can be trusted. He's faithful. And then even when he gets put in prison unjustly, he gets put in charge of the prison because of the kind of person he is. The other person I think of was Daniel. Daniel had a pretty busy life. He's like second in command of Babylon. That's a big time job. And he gets thrown in a lion's den. Remember that story? Daniel chapter 6. The reason he's in the lion's den is because of workplace envy. Other guys at work didn't like seeing him promoted over them, so they were out to get him. And they wound up having him thrown in a lion's den. Workplace, it doesn't get more practical than that. And you may have experienced workplace envy over time. But these men stood out because they were faithful. Faithful. And here in Colossians 3, there's motivation given to us, saying, "Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance." That sounds better than any bonus I could get at work. So serve the Lord. And then he gives a warning. He says, he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. You're either going to believe what God says and follow what he says and experience the blessings that he promises, or you're going to go your own way and you're going to keep bumping over the consequences that he warns you about. That's what it is to work as unto the Lord. It's to be faithful. And there may be times when your Christian convictions cause some friction at work, but let's make sure that the issues are really biblical issues, not other issues. And there should never be a question about your quality of work. You might ask yourself the question, what difference would it make if Jesus showed up at your workplace? You can ponder on that while you're digesting your Taco Bell, whatever it was that you ate beforehand here. Going back to Titus chapter 2, a third word, third principle that comes out of the end of verse 10, and this word is purposefully. We need to work humbly, we need to work faithfully, we need to work purposefully. And here is where I think we hit a big issue. Because too often, our purpose in going to work is to advance myself. Anybody want to say amen to that? Yeah, we can be honest here. It's to advance myself. I'm doing what I'm doing because I want to get a raise. I want to get a promotion. I want a better job. That's my purpose. It's more about me than the gospel. But look at what it says there at the end of verse 10. So that's that Greek word hina, which is Pastor Josh's favorite Greek word we heard the other day. Hina, purpose, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in everything. Here's the purpose for this instruction. And men will spend the majority of their adult lives at work. And work is a place, men, for you to shine the light for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has you where you are for that purpose. Work is not something to be endured. It's a place to make Jesus known. Go back to 1 Timothy 6, 1 for a minute, because there's an important warning that's given there. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1 says, all who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be slandered. There's the warning. If you don't, then you open up Christianity for slander, people to put it down. You give them a reason to put down Christianity. This is the reality. Many people will use the conduct of a Christian coworker as their excuse for why they don't follow Jesus Christ. One banking office I worked in, we had a young lady there, and she made it known that she's a Christian. Fine. She made that known. But that was back in the day when we would, and this is why banks closed at 3, because what we did from 3 to 5 is we had files that had all your checks in it, and we got your statements, and we take out the checks, and we put them in your statement, fold it up, put it in an envelope, and send it out to you. So we're not goofing around from 3 to 5. We're doing all that work, that paperwork. And we had the account for the local Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall. And this young lady is putting together their statement, and she put a little note in their statement. And the note said, turn or burn. She got fired for that. She deserved to be fired for that. She thought she was being a spiritual giant. She was being stupid. And I'm backpedaling, saying, hey, oh, hey, I'm not that kind of Christian. You know, but she just opened the door for people to say, see, Christians, they're stupid. People are watching. You have to realize people are watching you, especially if you put up your flag that you are a Christian. They will watch you. I can remember one office, we were having a staff meeting, we're talking about something, I can't even remember what we were talking about, but somebody said, yeah, well, we know what that guy's gonna think about this. Talking about me, that guy, that's the high regard I had, that guy. Because we've seen that book in his car. And I'm thinking, you've seen that book in my car? They're talking about my Bible that they would have seen on the passenger seat of my car. And I'm thinking, these people are looking inside my car. Yeah, they are. And you should welcome that. I want you to see my life. You have to understand that they are working. It's not like you check out from being a Christian, you go to work, you do your thing, you come back home and you put your Christian hat back on. Christianity works in the real world. Amen? Yes, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. It works in the real world. And how we work in the real world either supports that reality or brings it into question. That's the warning given in 1 Timothy 6. That's the warning. But Titus gives us an encouragement. He tells us to work like he's been instructing here, or the way Paul's been instructing, so that we can adorn the doctrine. We can make Christianity and our Savior look beautiful. We can make him look beautiful. And we adorn, it says here, the doctrine of God our Savior. God our Savior. If we are living in accord with sound doctrine, we make that doctrine look attractive. Is that what you want?
Yep.
Okay, I got one person here who's in. Is that what you want? You want to make the doctrine of God our Savior look attractive?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. People in our community desperately need salvation. That's why this church was started here in Long Beach. Because there's people here who desperately need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They desperately need salvation. They may not realize it, but that is what they need, and that's what we are here to tell them. And they need to hear the gospel from us, but they also need to see our lives and lives that make our message look attractive. That's what we need. And the power of the gospel and joined to the power of a godly example is going to have an impact. That's what we need. So let me ask you this question. If I haven't offended you already, let me try again. If we could proclaim the gospel to everybody in this area, we can give a clear presentation of the gospel to everybody all over Long Beach. Would they be attracted to it by the way you do your work? That's something I think we have to think about. Would they be attracted to it? Is what we're doing at work adorning that message? Work is a noble thing. Given to us by God. It's a blessing from God. But not only does the provision for our lives and our families depend on our work, what the scripture's telling us is the reputation of our Savior depends on our work. So you're getting this on Friday night, maybe you're not going back to work till Monday, you got a weekend to think about this. and to think about how this would make a difference in the way you work and the way you approach work, the way you think about work, humbly, faithfully, and purposefully. But we do have a couple of questions for you. Are they there on your handout?
Yes.
They are. And you have somebody at your table who's equipped and ready to lead a robust discussion of those questions there. So let me pray and we can spend some time discussing. There's just a couple of questions there. Let me pray. Lord, we do thank you that we have your word, and we thank you again that it speaks so practically to real life. Lord, this has been so helpful for us, gives us so much to think about. Lord, we thank you that you provide for us by giving us work to do so that we can make the money we need to take care of ourselves and others as well, particularly our families. We're so thankful for that, Lord. But we want to see our work as more than that, more as a provision from you to meet our needs. We want to see our work as a place where we can honor you in every way, a place where we can adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Lord, we should never want to see your name slandered because of the way we did our work. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to think this through, whatever our situation is, and that we might encourage one another as the men of the church, that we would see work the way you see it, as an honorable thing, a good thing, and it's an opportunity for us to shine the light for our Savior. So we give you thanks for this time, and we thank you in our Savior's name. Amen.